Hello, everyone. Send Out Podcast number 42. I am Lanzer. This is Crypto Diplo. And the last time this gentleman was on the podcast, it was episode 21, and we were talking about his SIP that went to vote. And it went the way it went. And look, he's back with a vengeance now as an approved delegate to make sure that what happens to him never happens to anyone else ever again. And we'll get into all that later on. The scope of the talk today is a meet and greet between Crypto Diplo, otherwise known as Robbie.eth, and it's a learning opportunity to learn about him, what sort of delegate style he wants to bring, and what sort of fit is he for you to delegate your sand and tokens to, your voting power. So welcome back, Crypto Diplo. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So disclaimer, Crypto Diplo and I do not represent the Sandbox Game or the Sandbox Style Foundation. We are not your financial or legal advisors, and nothing we say is to be taken as financial or legal advice. When we say the word SIP, we mean Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When we say the word DAO, we mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And when we say SandFam, we're talking about the Sandbox community who participate in the people, product, and the purpose of the Sandbox ecosystem. Specifically, we're talking about the people, everything from the game makers down to the Sandbox team. The product includes the game client all the way down to even the DAO. The purpose is what's expressed in the white paper and frequently expressed by Sebastian Bourget and Arthur Madrid, like how they want to empower creators and become the cultural capital of the metaverse. And all of that comes together in the ecosystem. Today, we're talking about specifically the DAO delegates, who are the people part of the ecosystem. We have one such delegate with us today, Crypto Diplo. And just like last time, scoreboard and checkbook have not moved because the DAO team have been hard at work installing and ensuring that the delegation system comes online. And where do we start? May 28th, the DAO was announced via Medium article. September 10th, the Sandbox DAO opens up delegation applications. And November 13th, 12 delegates were announced. As I mentioned, Crypto Diplo is here today, and you will see him as Robbie.eth on the, if you look at my screen, just look right there. Robbie.eth says the word Crypto Diplo in the actual description, so it's kind of an easy catch there. You know him by the multi yellow orange hued pyramid, and so I'm Lanzer, the host. MetaWorlds, we've published two things. One of them is currently in 0.0 in Alpha Season 4, and I continually have to pinch myself because I can't believe that happened, that we actually made it. my guest, Crypto Diplo here. Crypto Diplo, as we explained in episode 21, he works in tech, crypto investor on the side for the past 5 years. Has been involved with the Sandbox for the past 4 years and was the third ever landowner in 2019. He participated in sales and ICOs back in 2019. Sandbox was a standout with having a solid team, and he dabbles in game creation. So, Crypto Diplo, what else would you like to share about your background for those voters?
A good cover, I think. I guess to specify, started in crypto in 2017, so a few years before I got involved with the Sandbox. I think that was before NFTs were really a thing. There were maybe a couple of them, and then Sandbox was one of the early movers in very end of 2019. So I got involved in that, and then just been investing since then. I think it covers it.
Well, there we go. If you are interested more in his background and all the how he thinks as a creator, go to episode 21, where you can see here all the things that we talked about and why he felt that SIP was really important. It still is. And yeah, you can't do SIPs anymore, but you know, it's still a SIP that can be resubmitted if someone would choose to. Maybe you can have a conversation with him at a later time if that's the thing. And let's start with, you became SanFam in 2019? Yes?
2019, yeah.
As a landowner.
Yep. I was back before they might have even launched a product, I think. So SanFam is a little bit different than it is today. Where you have a big environment of creators and whatnot. Back then, it was mostly entirely investors. So that was my main role at that point.
Back then, it was mostly investors.
Yeah.
Like looking to buy land and sell and like speculators on the coin or the token?
Yeah. Yeah, essentially, yeah. I think I guess they must have launched the token first. But the land that they had was one of the first like ideas of land that came up in all of crypto. I think Decentraland might have been first, but Sandbox was pretty soon after.
Yeah.
And they didn't have, they might have had a few, like they might have Box Edit and maybe like a preliminary game maker, but for the most part, they were just getting the funds together to really make a run at this and using the team from their mobile app that they had made back in 2012.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember the 2D mobile app. Gotcha. So as you can see, he has a number of lands and estates. So he is well represented in the landowner side. The assets, it looks very landowner assets. You've got the catalyst pickups and the different landowner unlocks with the alpha passes. So you said you dabbled a little bit in game creation. What was your dabbling?
Yeah, good question. So I did a few of the early what are they called? The game jams. I don't know if they were called that when I did it, but it was just like essentially a game competition. It was much more rudimentary back then. I think it was 2021 when I did it, and so the games were like super simple. And so I did one of like two of those, submitted my games. They ended up being pretty buggy because I went really hard with it. I tried to do things that the game maker wasn't really functionally capable of doing yet.
My game from the time.
And it just, yeah, spammed all my like logic kind of just spammed and overflowed their server. So I definitely did not win any of those. But they were pretty cool when I did them. I was very excited about them.
Gotcha.
Since then, I haven't done much. Mostly waiting for some of the features that I requested in that SIP to really get back into it.
The NFT drops?
Yeah, the NFT drops would be cool. Really, I want the...
Crafting?
The ones I had before they edited it, the save data feature, right, where you can just like have variables that go over from play to play, because that's what I'm most excited about is kind of making the RPG style games where you're coming in, you're grinding, you're collecting items, you're trading, doing things like that. And so once that happens, I'm definitely getting back in.
Gotcha. Yeah, it makes sense. Pushing the envelope. All right, so. You've been in the sandbox for quite a while, so you know what the name of the game is. And SIP 11, now that you've been through the SIP process, what sort of perspective do you bring as a delegate having gone through that? And we are both in the negative council recommendation club. Yay! A club which is a very healthy club, actually, by this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a decent amount of us.
What sort of perspective do you bring now that really has enhanced your perspective as a delegate?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I learned from that experience was that we need to be more specific about kind of like the SIP pipeline, right? So we can get it right the first time. I'm sure you've gone through this a number of times, but you'll send it to the DAO. They'll kind of give you edits and feedback on it. They'll send it back, go back and forth. Mine was edited like after they approved it and then posted it. So I kind of got blindsided a little bit there. So there's just a lot of inconsistencies in that process that we need to iron out. I think they've done a good job of getting that process started with kind of a template strategy, kind of giving people an idea of what information they need to fill out for various types of SIPs. But then, that's just the beginning. Eventually what we're going to have to do is start passing SIPs, first of all, and then when we pass the SIPs, really seeing what works and what doesn't work after the fact, because there's going to be a lot of trial and error with all these once we actually start passing a good number of SIPs. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, for the start, we just need to get the process more clearly defined, what we can and can't do, nail that down, and then once we have that, we can start actually experimenting.
Yeah, I did a podcast recently on the new SIP process. It took me, I think, two and a half hours to cover the whole thing. It was a major upgrade to the old process, and there were still a ton of questions about some things that they said were ineligible, and the new process expanded. So it wasn't simpler. It was just there was more to it. Biggest thing that I myself can see is the invite-only system now. It went from anyone can submit it to you have to wait to be invited to submit. And that struck me as a little odd. So I'm interested to hear how it's going to play out, both as an author myself, and then I'd like to see what on your side, how that looks to the delegates. Does it feel better now? And especially for you, since you've been through the process before, does it feel better now that they've implemented this new process, or does it something there that we need to troubleshoot? I think you'd be you'd be the right person to tap on that.
Yeah. I think it really depends on how they execute it, right? Like in theory, it's a good idea because they can limit the number of things they have to edit and look at on a regular basis. So it reduces that workload and just streamlines the process better. The risk is centralization, as always. You know, it's just this added pipeline, like on-off veto switch that like somebody knows just gets to kind of veto things without people's approval. So I'm hoping that, you know, they understand that that's not what they want and that they are going to use that very sparingly and mostly focus on getting things passed regardless of the concerns about, you know, whatever the team has and whatnot. But realistically, if the community has all the support backing it, right? If you post it on the forum, it's something that everybody's getting energized about. And then they pass most of those, or at least like get some effort through pushing that through the funnel, then I don't think it's going to be too much of a concern. The issue is if we start wanting things, then they push back and basically just like throw it into the garbage bin without anybody ever having seen it. As with all things, we'll see how it's implemented. But I think in theory, it can be used well.
Yeah. So talk to me about your motivation for applying to be a delegate. What happened? How did it happen?
Yeah. Well, you guys can all go watch the video, but basically, we did a SIP. I put a SIP forward. They seemed pretty excited about it. We got it up. And then I think it had like 90%, maybe 80%. I don't remember the exact amount of support, but like yes votes. But it didn't even get close to forum because, you know, there's just not enough people voting on it right now. And to be specific, the sandbox has been previously like abstaining on votes to get it past forum, but this one they did not. And for a couple of the others, they did not. So they were temporarily, using their voting power as essentially a veto because people can't reach quorum without their voting power. So that's what happened. It ended up not passing. And now they've delegated that voting power to the delegates. So they've given me their power back. So we'll see. Maybe we'll be able to pass it again, or at least get some ideas for it.
Yeah, it was 76% yes vote is what you got. Only 20% said no. And we didn't make quorum with it. So that sucker would have passed very handily had this delegate system been in place. So that's where I said in the very beginning, something that I think you hope doesn't happen to other people.
Yeah, that was my bit.
So you are... So is this like a revenge strategy? Is that what's going on?
I mean, I think the main thing is just I've been active in the DAO. You know, I really wanted to get things passed. And so... It doesn't need to be revenge about anything. Frankly, I thought that the actual implementation of the idea would probably take a long time anyway. So this is not something I want to rush. I want to take it slow and do it right. But what we learned from the whole epidemic is that we need to first figure out how to pass this in. You know, we're not even at that stage yet. So now I think we probably are. I think we probably will reach quorum on every single vote, if not like maybe 90% of them. So I'm hoping that issue is a problem of the past, but we'll see how active the other delegates are, I suppose.
Yep. No, it makes sense. So in the, let's look at your voting history. So I show, it shows on what's this thing called? Snapshot, that you voted in Metafactory, the Sandbox DAO, and ENS. On ENS, you voted once, and it looked like for the Constitution, okay? So not your first Constitution vote. And in Metafactory, you voted, looks like mostly yeses. I can't tell if the mm-hmm was a yes, but it looks like a yes. Okay, and then in Sandbox DAO, you voted on four and all yeses. So, what's your approach to voting? What rule of thumb are you following?
It's a good question. I think at the beginning, I was trying to vote on most, if not everything. Well, so I guess I'll start with the ENS and Robot Metafactory, just because I don't think they're as relevant, so but we can just cover those for everybody's sake. The ENS, I was just voting on the Constitution as we were creating the DAO, as I recall. So I was thinking, yeah, let's just get this through. The Metafactory is probably specific. I don't, honestly, this was so long ago, I don't really remember, but I'm pretty sure it was specific, like, payments to people that were participating in the DAO. We had a DAO that it was essentially like a it was a little like brand creation DAO that was used
four years ago.
Yeah.
You've been DAOing for 4 years?
Yeah. I've been DAOing for a while.
Holy smokes. Okay. I've missed that part.
That was like, I think it was like maybe the first time Snapshot was live. So it's been a while.
Oh, I didn't know I was talking to a DAO grandpa.
Yeah.
So, I see there was a vote on balancer smart pool parameters, updating the issuance schedule, expense related to packaging, membership tokens, and is Metafactory dope?
I think that was the first test one. That's right. And the other ones were like, we set up a balancer pool back when balancer was a big word that was for liquidity for the token and payouts for the token and other things associated with that. They're just mostly experimenting.
Okay, this is, I want to come back to this at the end if we have time. I did not know your DAO history went back 4 years ago. That, now I'm just fascinated. All right, so we're going to, okay, so talk to me about your voting strategy. What's your approach?
Good question. So I think to start, I'm going to vote yes, if I think it's a good idea. No, if I think it's a bad idea. And then abstain if I don't really have a strong preference. I'll get into kind of what I think good and bad ideas are in a second. But for the most part, I guess the primary thing I want to do first is like pass some SIPs, you know? So if I think it's a good idea, we have the budget, it's not going to be too much of a concern, let's do it. Those are going to be easy for the things that don't require a lot of budget. So, you know, the things that are kind of like signaling, things like do reviews of various projects that we could do, organization DSIPs, things like that. Mostly going to pass those. Obviously, I think the debate on those is going to be pretty important, mostly like just the forum posts on that. But for the most part, those aren't going to be super concerning to me. The bigger questions are like, what are we going to do with this budget? And so some of the things that we do with the budget already, I think, are spend money on staking, spend money on land, owner rewards, spend money on various like projects in outreach, like in, I think, Southeast Asia. There's some controversy around those, right? So I want to be very diligent in my review of those. And I think when doing SIPs like that, the main thing I want to see are, well, I guess we'll start with the projects like that, right? I want to see a team, somebody that has experience, I mean, knows what they're doing, has proof that they've done things similar to this in the past, and just shows that they're generally competent at what they want money for, right? So you doing a sit for a podcast, right? I want to see that you've done podcasts. You've been doing them regularly and they are generally high quality. And so
I got long ways to go, Crypt Diplo. Yeah. I got
So yeah, I think like for the budget ones, I just want to be very judgmental. I think, you know, we're at a point in this year where the budget's almost, or the year's almost over, and we still have a decent amount of budget left. So I'm not sure how they're going to roll that over, how they're going to apply that. You know, they have the categories for budgets for each different type of thing. So just want to be very picky about who gets money when they ask for it. You know, that's going to be the biggest question, I think.
Okay. And so when you're talking about you wanted to do quite a bit of diligence or your due diligence on that, are you going to be, I know you mentioned you want to make sure that they seem competent, that they have experience, that they can actually, they seem like they can deliver on the things that they said. Are you going to want to see like rates times labor hours, like that sort of due diligence, or how deep do you want to go?
I mean, a breakdown of the budget and general costs would be great. I think that for the bigger ticket items, that's going to be like a must, right? If you're going to ask for $100,000, something like that. They're going to have a pretty detailed plan, absolutely. For smaller things and individual projects, things like that, I think I can pretty easily like eyeball understand it myself, right? If you're an individual doing it, you're asking for $10,000 to do a podcast, right? Okay, maybe you make $100 an hour. You know, that's a lot, but you know what I mean? Like, I can break that part down pretty easily. What I can't break down myself is bigger projects, bigger costs associated, how they're going to spend the funds, and things like that. So,
got it.
It's not going to be a bad idea to do things like stages, right? If you hit X milestone, you get the rest of the money, things like that. But I think that'll probably be sorted out a lot in the SIT process too. So we'll see. We'll see I versus the team does.
Yeah, the new SIT process goes from just one review with the DAO team to more of like a 3-stage review with but the DAO team, then the council, and then it goes through a third, like almost rehash review at the very end before it goes to even public discussion. So it extends the review quite a bit from just the way it looks now.
And that's for every SIP?
Yep, that's for every SIP. Now the implementation of it might go through some steps quickly. I couldn't tell, but it does extend the SIP process. And that's it went from, I think, a 5 or... Wait, actually, I have the slide right here. It went from a... When I counted, went from a 5-step process to an 8-step process. So, the main thing that changed was before it goes to public discussion, there are a few more steps now added to it. So, with that, should come more review and diligence, like higher quality SIPs. And but it might take a little bit longer before they get to you. I'm unsure how it's going to play out now.
Yeah, because one of the things that I'm most like, the reason I like DAO and I want the DAO to exist is so we can fund games that are cool, right? So like, it worries me that they're adding too much red tape, just because I don't want every game creator that wants money. It's like, if you want $10,000 to go do something and we have, you know, 3 million, right? We can fund 20 cool little games and we can kind of get the gist of like, you know, the experience of the people just via forum posts and things like that. Then I want to like follow this through. But if we can only do like one a month because they have to go through 10 steps,
I'm unsure how they're going to handle that. But I just read in the post earlier today the update from Cyril that there are 2 already ready to go for the next batch. And they're not my 2, I don't think. So they must be 2 of the new ones, I suppose. I'm not really sure, but we'll see. We'll see.
We will see.
So other than ENS, MetaFactory, and Sandbox DAO, are you involved with any other DAOs?
Not currently.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I have, you know, other assets and things that I presumably could be participating if I wanted to, but there's definitely nothing I'm taking an active hand in other than...
What was that? I didn't hear that.
I have like assets and other things that I could potentially be participating in other DAOs, but for now, the sandbox is the only one that I'm taking an active hand in.
Me too. I would love to be involved in those DAOs too, but here I am in sandbox. This is the one. This is the one I want to do.
This is the best one.
Yep. What sort of SIPs do you not support? If not even due diligence, the ones that you generally, you're already leaning toward no when you read.
Honestly, there's not.
The answer could be no. Nothing.
Yeah, there hasn't been any put up, or there haven't been any put up that I've immediately known that I want to veto. All the ones that I've seen so far have been things that I would reasonably take a conscious mind to. I might vote no at the end of the day, but there's nothing so far that I've been like, absolutely not. I guess to give a little bit more color, I haven't been excited about too many, frankly, except for the first one?
Magic Palette.
Yeah, Magic Palette.
Everybody loves Magic Palette. Gosh darn it.
To me, like, anything tech that's like improving our tech, doing cool new product features, making development easier on the sandbox, those are the ones that I really want to like support and just throw my money at.
And you were excited about it because it improved our tech.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I didn't have a beta access to that one. I didn't have any really insider knowledge on how good the product was, other than kind of videos and screenshots they'd shared. But I want to get the SAND community in the mindset of like, let's build tooling. Let's make this really easy.
Yeah.
Let's make it so fast to make a game that you don't need $10,000 to make a game. You know what I mean? So,
well, the good news is I did a few podcasts with Pepe since then, and we showcased it. We're going to be doing another update podcast in about a few weeks, a couple weeks from now. And we'll probably be building something from start to finish with the newest version. And so and we built one already from start to scratch. And it was super simple. I mean, you use Vox Editor and cuts down your building time by a lot. Yeah. And we just, I shot him an image that I wanted to build. It was like a Skull Island waterfall thing. And he just, in Vox Edit, he used Magic of Voxel, but he just bit bloppity bloop and then imported it into the web browser, and then the web browser imported into Game Maker, and it was done. It was incredibly fast.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And it sounds like what I expected, which is you're using other tools that like the Magic Voxel, right, is one that SAND community uses pretty often. And because it's so feature rich and it's, you know, built for like good development, so we can just port that, make it essentially our kind of base layer Game Maker, World Maker. To me, that seems like such a huge upgrade.
Yeah. So let's get into your delegate description, and I've read it already, so I won't read it again in the intro podcast. The things I wanted to zero in on is the two main goals. The first goal you mentioned was you wanted to be a voice for landowners who believe it is the core asset of the project and want to see it appreciate in price. So land is a core asset. What do you mean?
I mean, by that, I mean, land is kind of central to the whole development of the sandbox ecosystem, right? You know, we have a token, we have avatars, we have weapons, we have items, things like that. But like, to me, the land is kind of the key piece that makes everything tick, because you have essentially ownership of games. You're the game creator. Whether you're renting or not, that's a little bit confusing. But for now, like, the landowners and the game publishers are kind of the people that we need to support the most, right? People who are making the games and trying to make Sandbox a more fun thing to play, right? And I think when I talk about the price appreciation, right, it's not all about appreciating a price, but it is something that I just wanted to mention, in the sense of like, we need to make this asset valuable in the way that, in whatever ways we can. The ways that we can are to make the sandbox fun and make good tools for game developers.
And the way we can is make the asset, or just the game fun? Make this asset valuable. And the way we can do that is make the game fun.
Yeah. Make playing the games fun. And specifically, you know, you could, by supporting the game makers, people that make the games, right?
Got it. Okay, so that I think that answers the ecosystem question, because that was the biggest thing I was wondering as I was reading is, was it just about the land and making it go up? But it doesn't sound like that. It's the benefit, or it's the end result of ensuring that you create value for people to own the land. And that means making the game fun and building up the game makers as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's all one big ecosystem thing. And I guess I also should make this distinction on land versus sand, right? You know, sand is a useful thing. I think it makes sense to have for the sandbox, but I think that's kind of like not what I want to focus on, right? I want to focus on land and games, kind of like the combination of those two, and making that a fun and valuable part, right? And it's also just my personal angle, right? Like, I think it's good for other people to focus on different areas, but that's kind of the piece of the sandbox that most energizes me, right? Is let's make fun games and let's put them on land, and like, let's make, you know, yeah, owning a piece of the metaverse a fun thing.
Land and games, put them together. Got exactly. It. Yep. That makes sense. And then the second thing that you mentioned in your description was, you want to be a voice for game developers who believe the sandbox isn't doing enough to focus on game maker features that make the game, that main game development, profitable. There's a lot there. If you've been in the sandbox for any sort of time and you've seen the arrival and departure of game development studios, some of them the most recent and the largest and most historical of them all has taken a step back. Is that what you're talking about, or is there another angle to it?
No, that's exactly right. You know, currently the game developers are kind of adherent to the sandbox for funding, right? You know, they have to pitch their game fund. I guess they've made a lot of changes to the game fund recently that's more based on...
Yeah, I was one of the last ones. GMF 2023 RIP, rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I think that's good to start, and I think it's good that they do the fund. I'm not saying that anything about the fund is bad, but like, there's a whole world in which they don't need the fund anymore. And that's after they implement kind of some of the features that I was asking for in the SIP and things like that, right? Where it's like, you can make a game, you can publish it. It can be a fun game, a standalone game. It doesn't need to exist in the environment of the alpha seasons. It can stand on its own. It can have its own like economy that people are interested in purchasing the NFTs, or, you know, getting whatever their own version of their own token is. And it's fun to stand alone and create its own little player base and funding source that in that way. And so when I say like features, what I'm talking about is things like the crafting, things like NFT drops, right? You can't have an engaging game without kind of the components of the economy or some sort of, you know, trading system and things like that. And so those are the features that I'm really excited about and want to push forward. And I think that those would be most beneficial to game makers getting their own funding and basically being funded by their own players in a way. So that's my goal. I think it's probably going to be a very low percentage of the total SIPs that get passed. But with whatever voice I have, those are the things that I want to prioritize.
Okay. So it's not just about bag going up. No. All right. Take note.
Yeah. Take go note. Up for, you know, game makers. So let's make it profitable to make gaming.
Let's make the ecosystem healthy, and it will bring us all into healthy financial situations.
That's
yeah. Okay. I think that clears it up. I think that clears up pretty nicely. And what would you say is the most ideal? Now, that the SamFam voter, what type of SamFam voter best fits the style of delegation you want to bring?
What style of SamFam voter? I mean, I kind of cover in the summary, it's like landowners and game developers. I think it's at this point for me, I imagine them as one body. You know, like the people that publish games usually have land. Maybe that's not true in the future. But to me, like the people that are going to contribute to the sandbox via putting games on land, those are the people that I want to help the most, right? I don't want to help the speculators on the sand token. I don't necessarily want to help the players of Sandbox just yet. Obviously, I want to do that through making fun games, but like the people I want to prioritize right now are that kind of segment of voter.
Okay. That's what I was after. So you're looking to prioritize landowners and game developers, those who put games on land, and not necessarily prioritize the speculators on sand and those who, the players even. Yep. You build it right, they will come.
Yeah, that's the thought. And also, you know, I hope other people support the players at some point too, but that's just not my focus right now.
Yeah. I think you and I are pretty well aligned in that. I want to build tools that, whereas Magic Palette improved the tech, I want to build the process. I want to build the structure. I want to build the so that when they arrive, it's all neat and orderly, and they can just easily take an escalator to where they need to go, wherever it is. Whereas Pepe will build like really, really souped up badass escalator, like a teleporter. Like I want to build the process right, which is those are where my SIPs are going to come into play. But I think that's really clear.
That's
prioritize the game developers and the landowners. All right, we're getting through this. We're going to do this quite nicely. What was the delegate process like for you going through it?
You mean applying to be a delegate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty simple. I kind of just filled out the form, made my pitch, and then did the interview. And the interview, I think I talked about a lot of the same things I'm talking about right now. I think the priority for me is, first of all, figuring out how to pass SIPs, and then second of all, prioritizing the creation of games and the ecosystem around that. So. In terms of the process, it was pretty smooth. I guess I didn't hear back for, like, you know, 4 weeks or whatever it was, but other than that, it seemed pretty straightforward.
And how did you get notified?
Just to be a DM on the forum.
Okay. And were you expecting the 2 million voting VP gift?
No, I mean, that's... I know this is already a canned question, but you had to tell me that. I didn't even know that. So that was crazy. It's interesting. Well, I guess I don't know how I feel about that in the short term. I think in the short term, it's a great decision because now we can finally pass quorum and get SIPs through. But, you know, long term, it's not the vision that I want, which is just, oh, the Sandbox has delegated all of their power. Now it's in the hands of 12 people. Like, that's a slightly better system, but it's still not optimal. So I'm not sure. I think in the long term, what I hope happens is people start voting. And so the Sandbox can just revoke all the voting power and people will just vote and we'll pass for them without it. But
yeah,
I don't, unfortunately, today see a world in which that's possible. So in the meantime, right. You know,
if it was possible, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We would, you and I both would probably be, we would both be in the negative council recommendation, but still pass club.
Yes. That sounds like a much more fun club.
It sounds like a great club. I'd have my window resizing for Magic Palette. That's right. What I would have. Gosh, yep. Darn it.
No resizing for you.
I know. I'm stuck with 680 now. 680 resolution. Good times. All right. Have you had to sign any additional agreements to be a delegate other than clicking I will abide by the code of conduct?
Nope. We have like a little group chat together, but other than just hearing that I was a delegate, there really hasn't been any hoops to jump through. So we're in the early stages of all of this. Obviously, I've been pitching to people to delegate to me and to delegate in general. But the steps for me have just been interview, get approved. Now it's live, like make something happen. So there haven't been any shady backroom dealings that I'm aware of yet.
Good. I'm so happy to hear that it's just as straightforward as it sounds. That to me, that's powerful. That's a very helpful good thing.
Yeah.
Have you received the 2 million yet?
Now, I don't know. I've been trying to figure out how to even see how many power or how many voting power I've been delegated, and I don't know where to see it. I can see like other people's that are, but there's like one person that has like 100K delegated.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on the delegation page, but I haven't seen anyone with 2 million yet. So I'm wondering. Yeah. I think we're all wondering, how does that work? Is it like a new token? It's they're going to add it as a strategy. I don't know. I'll be fascinated to see how that works. Are they about to drop you 2 million voting power worth of land? Oh, jeez.
No.
I would be so jealous if they did that.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. There's no way that's happening. But they did say that they would be like moving it around as they see how active the delegates are, you know, like taking it away, giving it to other people. And then like they're also taking applicants for more delegates. So like, I don't know how that process is going to work. Mine might get diluted like significantly over the course of the next year, which I would be happy about, frankly. Like, it'd be good for there to be more than 12 at some point and have it divvied out around more people. But I think I heard
that there's another cohort. I don't remember if it's 12 or what, but I don't think you're the last batch to go through.
Nice.
Yeah. Which, if they gave another 2 million to them, then quorum is a thing of the past.
Yeah, but I assume they're giving this from the sandbox voting power.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Which is, they had, how much did they have? 20 million in those other votes?
27 million.
27. So 12 times 20. Well, 12 24. Times 2 is 24. So then they would probably, I think that would make sense for that to be, it's like slightly less than their total voting power.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else they'll do, but
I'm interested to see how that pans out. It's a fascinating short-term solution. I'll give them that. I'm with you. Cool. We have reached the end, man. That we flew right through that. That you have a very well-structured and thoughtful approach to voting and how you want to do your due diligence. I think that's great. Thank you. You know what you want to do and what you want to look for, which is not surprising at all, given your history in the sandbox.
Yes, yes, I have a very structured approach. I'm one thing I want it now, but you know, I guess that's going to take a long time.
yeah. So let's get into that last bit that I did not realize as I was reading through your profile. You've been DAOing for 4 years.
Yes, I have. Okay. Right when DAOs came out, I started.
All right, teach me, Sensei. What does that mean? I know what it means, like you've been clicking votes and all that, but what was it like then? What is it now? Just how? Tell me.
Yeah. So back in the day, it was much more. The DAOs were like tiny. You know, like there wasn't that. Like today, they've become these like big legal behemoths that nobody really knows how they exist legally and everybody wants to participate.
Because that's why I have to do a podcast episode on them.
Right, exactly. So, so frankly, I'm not super familiar with like the DAOs of today. What I was existing in was like, you know, DAO with 10 people or whatever. Like ENS was like, you know, I guess it was pretty big back when like the boom was happening, but there weren't that many people that knew how to participate in DAOs and do DAO things. So it was really like, you're talking to everybody involved, and you're trying to figure out how to like create a token and like manage the token and get liquidity for it, and then like create a product that people care about. And most of them didn't end up getting off the ground, so it was kind of a moot point at the end of the day. So we'll have to see how this next iteration goes. I think it makes a lot of sense the way it's done today, in the sense of we're structuring it around things that are pretty large. We're not trying to do a startup with a DAO necessarily. Because it just gets too disorganized. You need people that are constantly on their grind doing it. Whereas a DAO, I think, is mostly useful for getting community input on things and like giving them a voice in the actual like direction of the project, instead of like having a DAO like do a startup together. But, you know, that's not to say it can't exist that way. But that was what I was trying to do back with the MetaFactory thing. The MetaFactory was a small startup of, you know, a couple hundred people, or like a couple hundred total owners of the token, and maybe like 10 core people going to the meetings on a weekly basis and doing the actual work. So it's a different world, but that was much more fun. So I think like what I'm excited about is hopefully you can kind of get the mini DAOs going for Sandbox once games start getting off the ground. You know, you have like a DAO for a little game or do something like that. It's a little more organized, but yeah, that's my limited experience of that.
Yeah, I someone just mentioned mini DAOs. I think it was maybe the intern. He mentioned he'd like to see mini DAOs as well. What's your thought on what the mini DAOs would look like?
It's a great question. It's tough. Like I'm imagining a DAO for a specific game, right? You can have like multiple contributors to a game. Maybe you have somebody that you have all the different team members of a game. You have the box editor people, the animators, the game logic structures, all those people, and they contribute towards this.
Oh, like guilds or specific identities.
Right, and then you can, like, the optimal point of a DAO is to allocate resources, right? So what you want is that to be somewhat structured to the success and revenue of the game, and to have it doled out in terms of, like, a token or some sort of allocation, right? So, like, that part's going to be pretty hard to figure out once we end up in the point of Sandbox where people are actually making games and then making games or making money and things like that. But there is a world in which you can pretty easily spin up a DAO, have people contribute with whatever contributions that they are best at, allocate them tokens, have the revenue from the game directed into the token holders, and then have a pretty easy like governance structure around that. But that's a long time away, but that's kind of like the idea of a mini DAO in my mind.
I'm the way you say it though, I don't think that's going to be a super long time away, because not right now we have the new delegates, right? And they're the new thing and people are like, what is this? What can I do with it? But as soon as the delegates start forming their identity, start voters start going to different delegates, there's going to be a gap. And a gap that either a delegate can't fulfill because of the code of conduct or whatever. And that gap is going to then become a lightning rod for a new delegate to come out, whether or not they're endorsed or not. But which one will be the game dev delegate? Or which one will be the gamer delegate? You know what I mean? Like, I can already see, I didn't even think about that until you said that. So that ecosystem slide, I don't know if you're watching, I'll send it to you here in a second in the message. This ecosystem slide easily to me has delegates written all over it. This is the one I'm talking about. And this is the, I introduced this slide now ever since I did 31. And on the left-hand side, you've got the gamers, the game makers, the voxel artists, landowners, the holders. So you got people who, how you said, you're not exactly interested in prioritizing speculators. Maybe a speculator's DAO or a speculator's delegate with their own sub-DAO comes about. And now when I want to do a SIP, I have to go to you, Crypto Diplo, and then I have to go to them.
exactly. Pitch, make your pitch or whatever.
Yeah. And that's going to be fascinating, the politics behind that.
Yeah,
that's not dissimilar to what's happening in ApeCoin DAO, where you have different types of delegates. You have one delegate system that's based on the Made by Apes, which are like the people who've been granted business licenses. So they have a pretty large delegation. Then you have delegates based on PFPs. You have all sorts of different types. Huh. I hadn't thought about that. So back when you were voting early on, how was voting accomplished? Did you have Snapshot?
Yeah, I mean, you can see my votes. So we had it. It was very different.
You know what? As I said that, I realized what type of question that was. Probably that was a really obvious one. Never mind.
Yeah, like that was the only way. And actually, we
sounded smarter than it came out.
I mean, before that, we even had, what were we doing? I remember when Snapshot came out, we were all like, oh, finally, like, we don't have to do this dumb other voting. I forget what it was, but we had this other type of voting. I think it was like on-chain voting where you like literally had to sign a transaction and like send it to like the DAO or whatever. So it's like really expensive when Ethereum was blowing up. So everybody's furious. And then Snapshot finally came out and they were like, all right, let's just do this little like sign your transaction thing.
Got it. Yeah, because when you were voting, what was that? It was 24 years ago. Okay. So 2020. All right. So it was after, right before the land craze, but after the craze in 2017, 2018, when the gas wars. So Okay, but still, it would have been expensive at that time, regardless.
Yeah, and it was when we were doing it on chain. It was probably during Praise or like shortly, like on the comeback of it. So, and then Snapshot finally came out. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a glorious day.
It was a glorious day. Yeah, yeah. $200 gas fees.
Yeah, just to vote on some proposal.
Oh man, I remember. I wasn't DAOing back then, but I remember those transactions. They were painful.
Yeah.
Right on. That's it, man. We ran through all the questions. You have a very structured approach. Like I said, I appreciate you sharing your DAO history. That's cool. That's cool to see. I'm happy to see that they made you a delegate. I'm happy that you have the DAO history and the sandbox history, and you were a SIP author, so you kind of have that you're not new to DAOs and being voted for. You're not new to the SIP process within the sandbox, and you're not new to the sandbox itself, so it kind of makes you a very well-rounded delegate.
Yes, that's what I hope to be. I also, I do understand that there's a lot of people that were probably significantly more qualified for me for this position that were passed over. So I'm going to do my best to make sure I get this right. And I hear opinions of everybody, and everybody challenges me. So
right on.
I want to make that point very clear. I'm not here to take the power for myself. I want to make sure this is as much of a team effort as possible.
Right on. And if you want to make Crypto Diplo your delegate, you can contact him at Crypto Diplo. That's his Twitter X handle. You can find him on Discord. Pretty easy to search Crypto Diplo. And his ETH is robbie.eth, robbie.eth. And as you can see, he is a seasoned DAOer and experienced sandboxer, SandFam. So there, I've been sharing this with the delegates, and I do this after every episode. So the sandbox spaces, you yourself know quite clearly that on Discord, there's the hashtag DAO discussion channel. There's also the sandbox DAO forums. On Twitter, there's sandbox DAO, sandbox game hashtags. On YouTube, there's the sandbox DAO YouTube page, which I mean, I think you watched the episode yesterday, so you know that. Mine, and then Bruno's Pickaxe Master, SandFam Cafe. He's taken a hiatus, though, recently. So so I think SandFam Cafe is on a little bit of a pause right now. But then there are the Twitter and X spaces that happen every week. So Mochaverse Hall, otherwise known as United Grand Halls, happens Monday. It's actually going on right now, but this was the best time for us to do it. Our podcast. So they're going on right now every Mondays. Bulls on the Block, they're really big into ApeCoin DAO and Sandbox, and they're a landowner and Sandbox. So they are on Saturday mornings, Eastern time. And then Coffee with Captain, they're mostly ApeCoin DAO, but also they cover Sandbox, and it's Monday through Friday. And last but not least is Whale Members. They just launched their DAO. They're one of the largest landowners in the sandbox, but they do their natively digital on Tuesdays. And I am trying to get with their DAO that they just launched. I'm trying to push through a WIP a proposal for them to vote on every single proposal. And with that, I see an opportunity for the delegates to advocate both for themselves and also for how you're going to vote. Like, that's another place where SandFam people will gather as well. So, yeah, just some places that you might pick up some delegated power there, and connect with people.
Love it.
Right on, man. I'm going to look for someone to raid, see who's on the sandbox. What do you call that? Channel? See if there's anyone else on other than me. But is there anything that you'd like to say to everybody before we raid out?
Delegate to me. That's all I got.
Delegate to Crypto Diplo. There we go. I don't see anyone else on right now. It's just me. So We're going to raid. We're going to raid. Gassy. There we go. All right. So I'm going to start the raid. Crypto Diplo, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you taking the time to explain who you are and how you want to vote and lay out your structured approach for furthering landowners and game developers to make Sandbox a healthier ecosystem.
Let's do it. Thanks for having me, Lancer.
Right on. Good to see you again. All right. Bye, everybody.